welcome to Turn the Page, the official podcast of the Syosset Public Library.
Jessica with Syosset Libraries Turn the Page podcast. And this is a really exciting interview to be doing because this author's book, Daughter of the Moon Goddess, is breathtaking. And we are just so excited to have her here. So actually, I'm going to let her introduce herself and tell us about her book.
Thank you so much, Jessica. I am so excited to be here. Thank you for having me. So I'm Suwin Tan, and I'm the author of Daughter of the Moon Goddess, which is my debut fantasy, out with Harper Voyager on January 11th. So Daughter of the Moon Goddess is a fantasy inspired by the legend of Chang'e, the Chinese moon goddess. It is a beloved legend of the Mid-Autumn Festival, which is celebrated by Chinese people around the world. It is a story of immortals, magic, adventure, romance, rich in Chinese mythology. There are dragons. But it is centered around a young woman's quest to free her mother, which sets her on a dangerous path and pits her against the most powerful immortal in the realm. But at its heart, it is really a story about love, both, you know, family and romantic, and for me, in all, it's both wondrous and devastating manifestations. So the story starts with a young woman named Xinyan, who discovers that she's being hidden from the powerful celestial emperor who imprisoned her mother on the moon. And her magic flares, she's discovered, and she's forced to flee her home and ends up in the celestial kingdom, which is where she probably should not be. So there she disguises her identity, and, you know, she sees an opportunity to train with the crown prince of the realm, who is also the emperor's son, and she learns archery and magic, and some of this talent is in her blood as well. It is a fantasy romance, so, you know, there we have forbidden love, we have friends to lovers to enemies, may not be quite it there. But through it all, her main goal remains to save her mother. And she embarks on a quest to do that, where she faces, you know, monsters and fearsome and wicked enemies, and until a new danger threatens the kingdom, and where she faces, you know, a very difficult choice, basically, where she risks losing everything or plunging the realm into chaos. So in a nutshell, that is roughly the story. Well, not quite the whole story.
Oh, no. And what I love about the story is the familial love. I mean, her dedication to freeing her mother. I think, you know, I like the idea that, I mean, she knows in the very beginning that her mother is revered by mortals, and that, you know, they make mooncakes in her honor, and her mother is the moon goddess. I mean, who would imagine mm-hmm. that the moon goddess would be you know, under anybody's control, but the fact that it's like a curse is a really interesting way of looking at it. And I also just loved how fiercely independent she was.
No, I mean, absolutely. I think that was an important part of me in the book, that I wanted her to really be, you know, the one driving her own fate and her own destiny. And it was really interesting what you said as well about the moon goddess on the moon being a curse. I mean, in the original mythology, we could talk a little bit about that right now.
Yes, I would actually love to. Because the original mythology is like a beautiful tapestry behind Xinyan's story. So, I was actually hoping that we would be able to delve into this sooner or later. So let's do so.
Yeah, it was actually your question that got me thinking about it. I was thinking, how do I answer this without going into the original mythology? So, I mean, just to give a brief recap on the story. So it is a Mid-Autumn legend that is much beloved. It is often told during the annual Mid-Autumn Festival, which is always held on the night of, you know, full moon. So according to the story, once upon a time, there were 10 suns that rose in the sky, and it caused great devastation everywhere. You know, people could not eat, the rivers dried up, and an archer, the greatest archer in the realm, named Ho Yi, was tasked to shoot the suns. And he took up his bow and shot 9 out of 10 of the suns, leaving just one to light the earth. And he was gifted the elixir of immortality, which would, you know, give him immortal life and transform into a god. But he did not take it because he didn't want to leave his wife, whom he loved very much. Yet it was Chang'e who took it instead, flying to the moon, where it was said that in some variations that she was imprisoned by the Emperor of Heaven, exiled to the moon for her theft of the elixir. And the first line of Adore the Moon Goddess is, there are many legends about my mother. And, you know, there are so many variations as to why Chang'e did this. Some said that she was literally saving the elixir from thieves who broke into the house and she drank it by accident. Some said that, you know, Ho Yi became an evil tyrant and Chang'e drank it because she didn't want the people to suffer, you know, eternally underneath him. And, you know, some said that she just wanted to become a goddess. And for myself, though, I felt that all those reasons felt they left me a little hollow inside. And I just imagined, you know, what if there was more? What if there was somebody that she was protecting or, you know, trying to save, who she loved as much as her husband? Because the one thing that I firmly believed was that they both loved each other. And then so the thought just came into my head, like, what if there was, you know, a child, a daughter? And I thought, what an incredibly fascinating yet burdensome heritage that would be, you know, and she would fight for her mother's freedom, being exiled to the moon, as fiercely as a father did for the world. And that was, you know, how the story came about. So, the core legend in the story kind of stays quite close to the original because, you know, it's a legend that means a lot to me. And I did take my own interpretation of her being exiled to the moon to her being actually, you know, an enchantment put on her where she cannot leave as well, which is what Sun Yin sets out to free her mother from. So
the first time this legend in full sort of came on my radar was, I can't, you know, during Netflix. COVID, you can't even remember what year when it began, but I believe it might have been, I was aware of just very nominally, you know, like the moon festival and that there was a moon goddess and you know, but the legend, as you said it, there was a movie called Over the Moon. It was an animated movie and it was really beautiful and it made my whole family cry. And I think the idea behind it was that she was a kid. She loses her mother and her family's tradition was to make moon cakes together. And, you know, her mother passes away. And the father is possibly going to remarry and she decides she's going to go to the moon and she's going to get, Chang, is my pronunciation okay?
it's a difficult one, quite honestly. I pronounce it as Chang'e.
Chang'e, okay. Chang'e to grant her wish to bring her mother back. And, you know, her soon-to-be little stepbrother tags along. And it is like, first of all, the animation was beautiful, but like the story itself was just so lovely. So that was, you know, one of the things immediately that when the book came up and I was like, oh, you know, this is great. This is more of the mythology that I was learning in Over the Moon. And I love takes on mythology. I mean, that's sort of my tonic when it comes to fantasy books. I absolutely love it when authors sort of decide, okay, I'm going to take this myth that means a lot to me and I am going to sort of flesh it out and play in that world a little bit because right. It's very much mine and I'm going to bring that part out in my writing.
Yes, that's something I really enjoy as well. I mean, I really liked Over the Moon as well. I thought it was such a creative and beautiful interpretation of the legend. And, you know, I mean, for me, like, the Legend of Chang'e is one that I've loved since I was a child. I still remember the first time I saw Chang'e's image on a mooncake box. I mean, I grew up in Malaysia, and now I live in Hong Kong, but you know, it's a really big thing over here. And so when I saw a picture of her in her beautiful garments flying on the clouds to the moon, I think it was just something that just captured my imagination, and it was just a story that always like lingered on in my head. And during the Mid-Autumn Festival, it's actually pretty, it's pretty amazing. Like you can see the images of her on the lanterns around. My son in kindergarten was actually taught songs about her flying to the moon. So it's really a legend that means a lot to me. And that was, you know, it's something that I was a little afraid to tackle in the beginning, but you know, I think that it's something that's so precious to me. I'm just so excited to share it with more people.
So tell us a little bit about Xinying and how she sort of came about. Are there any interpretations of the myth where Chang'e has a daughter?
No, none that I've read. And there are quite a few out there. And it was really because, you know, I was speaking a little bit about this earlier, that, you know, all the reasons I left the read all left me feeling a bit hollow, because, you know, they were in love, and I thought that it would have to be a really powerful reason for her to do what she did. And I just imagined a child from there. And I think the funny thing is this, right? That the first thing that came to me of the story was the idea. And then the title came, Daughter of the Moon Goddess. And the first line that I typed is, there are many legends about my mother. And the title and the first line are just the two things that have not changed through the numerous rounds of edits. It is an idea that, you know, I just conceptualized and just took it from there. You know, imagining her story tied still to the legend of the Moon Goddess, but saving her mother, but a completely independent and, you know, a different take on the story, but still incorporating a lot of the key themes of the Mid-Autumn Festival, which really revolves around family, love, and reunion. So yeah, that is how it came about.
Yeah, and the love story in it. So there is the family mm-hmm. love, but then there's some romantic love as well. Mm. And yeah. Through it all, though, I mean, Xinying is just, she's just so focused on, you know, she doesn't seem to fall into the trap that a lot of heroes in these stories fall into, where they're just going to sort of turn to mush for whom they love. And I like that about her, but I don't want to give any spoilers away. I'm like so close. I'm like, I have a thing that is in my mind, but I really just want people to read this book. Yeah, I really just like the way the celestials and the immortals and their world is just so beautifully put together. And I love that she is drawn to archery, which is no spoiler to say her father's talent. That was pretty great. Where did you decide to sort of veer off to show bits of her father within her?
Well, I think, you know, I mean, Hoi is as important a part of the legend as Chang'e to me. So, you know, there are two parts of the story. And I thought that, you know, even though it's Daughter of the Moon Goddess, I thought I really wanted to bring in elements of Hoi as well. And for me, archery is really, you know, a really big thing. And it was something that I really wanted to be her core strength in as well, right?
Yeah, definitely. I thought that was really cool. And so a little bit more just about the world of the immortals.
I had a lot of fun writing that part.
Well, tell us about it.
Well, you know, when I was a child, I loved like fairy tales, you know, Chinese fantasy dramas. You know, I used to watch a lot of them with my mother, and the world was just so beautiful. You would have the falling peach blossom petals. You would have the exquisite scenery of mountains and rivers and these mysterious islands with like, you know, purple trees and flowers and everything. And you'd have the garments. Oh, I loved the clothes last time, right? The long flowing robes with all their different like tassels and ornaments and everything. And music is a really big part of it as well as the food. And for me, like the stories I really liked as well were the ones with the worlds that I wished were real, that I, you know, I wished I could escape in and, you know, like live there and meet everyone there. So I guess that was kind of, you know, what I was hoping to achieve when I crafted this world. Like I really wanted a a beautiful, sweeping world. But I also wanted to show a different side to it as well, that, you know, that beneath this layer of perfection and beauty, there is also danger and treachery and, you know, darkness, which can lurk there. Because, and it is so much more unexpected when you have this, like, you know, glittering, beautiful facade on the outside. So, yeah, I did enjoy writing some of those descriptions.
It was so beautiful. Yeah. I wanted to go there.
Oh, I'm so happy to hear you say that.
And another thing that I love, and I'm just sort of flipping through the pages to kind of pick up, you know, just my thoughts. Each chapter has this just beautiful, like, illustration with the number of, you know, the moon and the clouds.
Oh.
And it's just, it's so pretty that it just adds this quiet layer to the story as you turn the page. So you're reading this beautiful description, and a lot of it is very exciting. There are battles in it, and as you mentioned, monsters and romance. But then you turn, you know, you finish a chapter, and then you see this beautiful drawing, and you're just like,
Well, I didn't draw it.
But did you have any input in that, is my question.
I was very fortunate. I mean, throughout the editorial process, I was very fortunate that, you know, it was a very collaborative process as well. And I was able to share some thoughts and ideas. And what's interesting as well is that the clouds are actually more like Asian Chinese style clouds. They're like swirling and curls and everything, right? So
yeah.
I really like that part too.
From what I understand, is this book a duology?
Yes, it is. So it's interesting because right now I'm actually working on the second book. I'm actually
wait a
editing.
Second, as we speak, you are
I know.
Wow.
It's been a little bit busy. So, I mean, I'm editing it right now. The second book is actually due to come out in fall 2022, so in the same year as well. And I'm really excited for it. I wrote the first book so that it could stand alone. But, you know, there was so much more I wanted to tell about Singin's journey, you know, about the world. We haven't explored all of it yet. And there were some unresolved questions and situations. I'll just leave it at that.
Yes, there. And that's the thing. There's, as I said before, there's so many things I want to just blurt out. But I was just like, oh my gosh, if I do that, it's going to give away too much of the story. And I just, I don't want anybody to come into this already expecting some of the things that are going to happen, because I feel like you just need to experience them.
I have a big sign like around here saying, no spoilers, please, especially because I'm working on book two right now. No, but I'm just really excited for, I mean, I love the title. Hopefully we can share that soon. And I'm really excited for where the story is going as well. So I can't wait to share it. But it's definitely been a busy few months.
So what are some books that you have been reading? Do you generally read fantasy, or do you have like a secret love for, like, I don't know, murder mysteries?
Well, right now I'm reading nothing. Sadly, no. But usually when I have time, I love reading fantasy first and foremost, you know, I mean, but I also like reading romance as well. And so when you've got the mix of both fantasy romance, I'm in my happy place. I love both by Stephanie Garber is wonderful. You know, her world.
And she blurbed you. She blurbs you. I'm looking at the front of the book, a breathtaking debut novel. That must be pretty great, being blurbed by one of your favorites.
I know, it was pretty crazy. I mean, I didn't know her before. She is truly, not only is she a wonderful author, she is truly a very kind and generous and supportive person. Honestly, she's I can't say enough good things about her. but I love her writing as well, you know, the imagination, the romance, the magic, and the beautiful world. I really liked the Bone Shard Daughter by Andrea Stewart. I mean, and she's got a sequel coming up soon, so that should be really exciting. She has such an interesting take on magic and characters, and I really love, I don't know if you read it, but there's a really cute side character called Nephi there, which I really like as well.
It's now on my list. Thank you.
No, but honestly, there have been so many amazing books that I've read this year. I could go on for a really long time. I mean, She Who Became the Sun, I think, is really wonderful.
Yes, 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 yes.
Oh, you like it too. Seriously, when I read it, I was like, oh my God. Shelley, don't read my book.
Well, I just, you know, there's one thing about just this whole time period. I think a lot of people have been, and there's a lot of talk about just the resurgence of like independent bookstores, and I don't think I have ever read as much in the last 18 months as I ever have, and that includes when, you know, because when we shut down during the early days of COVID, I was still working, and that's kind of something that I think a lot of people find interesting. Like the we were saying the library, the building is closed, but the library is open. And, you know, like we were always, okay, how do we still work from home, but provide services to people? Like what exactly is, you know, what are we doing? So there was a lot of like, let's get back to basics and read and find a way to go from there. And I just exploded, and my colleagues as well, with the amount of things we started reading. So, you know, it's like as much like putting things on my list as being like, oh yeah, I remember reading that. Yeah, I read that too.
Wow, that must be a pretty busy, but you know what? I mean, reading is a happy place for me. So that's definitely a good thing to have, right?
did you start writing Daughter of the Moon Goddess in like during the pandemic?
No, Daughter of the Moon Goddess, well, you know, publishing has a really long timeline. So I wrote Daughter of the Moon Goddess actually before the pandemic. And I think it sold at the end of, you're right about time getting away from you. But anyway, I wrote it before the pandemic. And I think it's the announcement came out in 2020, early 2020. So yeah, it takes quite a while to get here.
Well, thank you so much. I hope that you'd consider talking to us when the sequel comes out.
Maybe. Oh my goodness, I'd love to. if you have me back.
Of course. Yeah, no, absolutely. Of course. I think this is going to be a huge hit. You know, like I said, the first time I came upon just the full, or at least one full version of the myth of the moon goddess and Hoi and Chang'e was Over the Moon, which was, it's animated, it's quote unquote a kids movie, it is for everybody, it is not it will make you cry, it'll make you laugh, and it's really great. But I think this one is going to be very well received, and I think that everybody's going to fall in love. Everybody's going to fall in love with Xingying and want to hear more of her story and, you know, stay in that world a little bit more.
Oh, I'm so excited to hear that. I mean, because when you write, I guess you never know. You just have how it's going to be received. But you know what? I'm so happy to hear that you like the story. It really means so much to me. And so excited to be here as well.
Thank you. So once again, this was Jessica with Turn the Page Podcast. Our guest today was
Su Lin Tan, author of Daughter of the Moon Goddess, out with Harper Voyager January 11th.
And upcoming to be named, or to be named to be revealed, yes, sequel to Daughter of the Moon Goddess, very, very soon coming to you. Thank you so much. Have a lovely day. And we are going to close this chapter.
It's time to close this chapter of Turn the Page. Join us for the next episode.